This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's the show that needs a big game from Zion tonight.
One third of it does. Exactly. This guy.
I'm saying for the NBA, the health of the
really?
League.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
And Zion.
I totally disagree.
It'd be nice. It'd be cute.
Yeah. More than cute. It's right. First things first. Today, Lakers, Pelicans.
Brew calling things cute is just the ultimate
is cute.
Insult.
It's not great.
No, it's not.
Winter heads to Denver. Why a Pelicans upset might be brewing. Little hint there. Meanwhile, Chris Broussard's official NBA ballot is in. The surprise picks for MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. Our statisticians disagree with both of those. And finally, a special playoff edition of the freshest ranking in all sports. Again, it's a rich tapestry. Yes. It's King of the Hill alongside Chris Broussard and Kevin Wilds. Nick, any surprises on the Hill? How is a different playoff edition?
Well, we'll see that in an hour, but I'll tell you this much. Steph's lucky that King of the Hill is a Tuesday franchise and not a Wednesday franchise, or else he might not have a place on the playoff edition.
Oh, wow.
King of the Hill after tonight. Where's the beam, Rick? Where's the beam?
We didn't get the beam.
We don't have the beam.
The beam.
We're saving it for tomorrow.
Year.
Remember, Rick was painting stuff from Home Depot.
We're saving
outside.
It for tomorrow.
Wasn't great.
Okay, no problem.
We start with Lakers at Pelicans round two. Lakers just beat the Pels by 16 behind a pedestrian game from Zion and Brandon Ingram, who was working his way back after missing 12 games. Lakers were favorites yesterday. But AD was listed as questionable, although we expect him to play. Dave McMenamin reporting he's having shockwave therapy and a heat pad fitted for his back
he's
like my grandmother used to wear.
Well, I was going to say, Wilds does the show with half of that, so that's
well,
good.
Heat pad.
Yeah, not the shockwave therapy.
But now they're underdogs, just by one point. Brew, are you surprised by this?
I'm not surprised. I'm gobsmacked.
Can't start every
I'm utterly
show like
astounded.
Do it all the time.
No, I'm serious. I'm shocked. Let's count the ways the Lakers should be the favorites.
Yeah. Okay.
They have the two best players on the floor.
Yeah.
Without question. LeBron and AD. They beat New Orleans 3 out of 4 times they played this year by an average of 25
Easy.
Points.
Yeah.
Plus. They have way more playoff experience. It's not even close. LeBron himself has played 282 playoff games. The Pelicans in total, combined, all of them, 205 playoff games. The Lakers are hot, finishing 11-3. The Pelicans are not, finishing 4-5. And New Orleans is bad in the blender. You know what the blender is?
I don't know.
Smoothie King Center. The blender. You never heard that?
No,
I know it.
Just act like I made it up.
Okay.
The blender. They're bad. They are the worst playoff or the worst team of all the top 8 seeds in either conference. 21-19. That's not good. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess they're saying AD, questionable, LeBron, probable.
Let me say one other thing they're saying. They're saying that the Lakers might agree with some of my favorite media members and some of my least favorite media members, to be fair. I won't say who's who. Well, I'll say Colin and J-Mac are on the favorite list. That, the Lakers throw the game. The Lakers don't want to win this game. But you know who I know doesn't think the Lakers should avoid Denver? LeBron James.
Right.
You know who I know? Well, I shouldn't say I know this part, but I have real reason to believe agrees with me that playing them now is better than playing them in a month? LeBron James. And you know who is, to add to Brew's point, they're even hotter than the overall record suggests, because They're 9-1 in their last 10 where LeBron and AD both play.
Right.
You throw out the game that AD played but went out immediately when he got hit in the face. LeBron is playing some of the best basketball of his season as of late. And while Wild said something yesterday, I was like, is that right? When you said he's shooting 30% for the month from three. But then I realized we're in the very beginnings of April. If we extend that month to and the last game of March, that 30% jumps up to 47%. No, but on the season he's 41%. I don't think he's all.
But I think the smart thing is he hadn't been shooting a ton of.
Correct,
things.
And he's not in the midst of some slump. It's quite different, and he owns this team.
Yeah.
There are certain teams that just no matter how old LeBron gets, if he's healthy. He can put his head down and get to the rim. And the Pelicans are one of those teams. This year against New Orleans, he's a 55-60-90 guy and does everything he wants, scoring and distributing. And then there's one other piece to it, which I think lends itself somewhat to our next conversation, but I think is more relevant to this one right here, which is LeBron has, in my opinion, always taken note of things that matter to the NBA. Whether it's the in-season tournament, right? Whether it is the his importance there, and also
except for the All-Star game.
The All-Star game.
I'm just playing.
And I think once upon a time, when everyone took it seriously, he took it quite seriously.
Yeah,
but the point being, he also has taken note on anyone the NBA tries to position as his rival or heir apparent.
Yeah.
And you saw in the 2016 finals when he had the moment with Steph and did the shoulder shrug, like, get out of here, because he was being positioned as a rival.
Yeah.
That is fair, but I'm saying I think he takes it personally, whether it's fair or not. Zion was positioned as not necessarily the next LeBron, but something along those lines.
Future face of the
league. And LeBron has taken that seriously. So for all of those things, all those reasons, I don't think they should be underdogs. I know they're on the road, but the Lakers have not been a terrible road team since they made the starting lineup change, which is when their season turned around. And they just played a game almost as important on Sunday, and it was never close.
Yeah.
Right, so
if this does turn in the Pelicans' way, and I don't want to give too much credence to the throw the game theory, you know, Steph has to go all out. It's win or go home.
Right.
If the Pelicans have a nice lead in the fourth quarter, do you think LeBron will be like, you know what? Maybe this isn't the worst thing. We'll live to fight another day. Or do you think he leaves it all on the floor?
I think it probably depends on how big the lead is and how much time is left. There will come a point where if they're down huge, the thing is, nowadays with the three-point shot, I mean, you see swings all the time.
Also,
especially if LeBron gets hot from three where he can be streaky. So I think they would go for it within reason.
That was the exact situation, if you remember. We had this exact conversation 1 year ago when they were in the 7-8. LeBron was dealing with the foot injury.
Yeah.
I remember us discussing the worst case scenario for the Lakers, worse than being blown out by Minnesota, would have been a tight loss where he plays a ton of minutes.
Overtime,
and if you remember that game, they were down double figures in the fourth quarter. They end up. He hits, I think it was Schroeder, someone in the corner. Maybe not Schroeder. Someone in the corner for a three.
Might have been
Schroeder. And then AD fouls Conley. Mm-hmm. And it does go to overtime. And the Lakers end up winning. But they were down big in that game against Minnesota. Went all out for it to get the extra rest. So to answer your question, even if there is validity to that idea, last year tells us that's not what they would do. That they are going to treat this game as an elimination.
All right, let's dig in on LeBron versus Zion. Two number one picks drafted 16 years apart. Zion only had 12-8-8 in their last matchup, but LeBron was still very complimentary. Take a listen.
I mean, he's a beast. I mean, it's almost impossible to stop him. So just try to keep a body on him. You just try to make it tough on him. But he's a great player, man. So the best thing I have help, you know, behind me and in front of me. And that's always communicating me throughout that matchup.
Not impossible to stop him. He had 12 points. Head to head this season, LeBron's got him in everything, basically, except field goal. Oh, no. Yeah, Zion's got field goal percentage, but he's taking everything at the rim. All right, so who's under more pressure tonight, Bron or Zion?
LeBron, without question. And here's why. Because he hadn't done it purposely. But Zion, because of the injuries, somewhat maybe because of his own lifestyle as far as eating and things like that, not being in the best shape. But he has done a great job, I kind of say that facetiously, of lowering the expectations for him now. Like, I was dead serious yesterday.
That's where I was at.
When I said, no, he played 70 games. That's great. That's all I'm expecting at this point.
My goodness gracious.
All right, now, if they win tonight or get to the playoffs, then we can start building up the expectations again for Zion. But let's be honest. We've moved on. All right, he's no longer the new hotness.
That's right.
All right, we moved on to Wimby, to Chet Holmgren, to Ant-Man Edwards.
Paolo.
I mean, we've moved on. Like, he's not the guy where even Ja, obviously, if he, you know, assuming he comes back fine, SGA.
SGA without question.
Yeah, we've moved on as far as the young guys that are going to be the face of the league. Zion is a very good player.
Very good.
But he is also a very limited player. And the reason LeBron, even at this age, can give him problems defensively is because you know Zion going to the hole.
Yep.
That's it. He's certainly not shooting a three. He's not even shooting a mid-range jump shot. He is going to the bucket, and LeBron's got the size to just kind of stay in front of him. And then when he gets to the rim, you got AD there. So the Lakers pack the paint against them and give him problems. So I was happy this year. I'm not even trying to diss him. I was happy this year. He is a nice playmaker. He handles the ball well. Yeah. They got him at the point a lot of the time. So he's got some strength. He needs to be a better rebounder, and he's got to continue to work on his jump shot.
Go ahead.
That was all 100% correct, unfortunately. I just have the opposite view of it.
Okay, well, go.
Where it's just disappointing that the media has overcorrected so much that maybe people were too harsh on him and there was some mean-spiritedness to the criticism. And now we've taken it the whole other way where it's like, congratulations, you played 70 games.
But I think it's...
That's it.
But that don't you think that's legitimate?
But I think it's 100%. Okay, I just think it's unfortunate, and I have to kind of be the bad guy, I guess, by saying, hey, Zion, it's your moment now. You're up against LeBron James, another number one pick. You're up against AD, who the Pelicans had to start fresh, and you were the beginning of that fresh start. Why don't you have more than 13 shots last game when AD wasn't even on the floor most of the time when you're taking these shots? It's frustrating that the expectations are so low for him.
Oh, so here's maybe I'm splitting the difference here a bit. Obviously, he needs to play better than he did on Sunday. Sunday, he played a very poor game. He played. I think the low point of his season, and maybe the low point of his career, non-injury related, was the in-season tournament game earlier this year against the Lakers when he looked out of shape, out of it. Since that moment,
intensity-wise, too, did you see? Like
in both those instances.
Yes.
But the point I was going to make is the two games in between and the breadth and width of the season in between those two games, he played really well. He played well in both of the other two games, even though
two really good games,
right? And the Pelicans won one and lost one. And I don't have a ballot, but I do the exercise every year of what my All NBA teams would be. And 13 of the 15 All-NBA spots were pretty obvious who the names were going to be. We can argue about second, third team.
Right.
And then the final one or two All-NBA spots, there were eight guys to me that I strongly considered. And I texted Brew to see if he and I were in the same boat. Seems like maybe I was a little higher than you on Zion. But he's going to get All-NBA third team votes. I don't think he's going to make the team. I bet he shows up on some ballots. Point being, he had a good season by any realm of expectation. It's not just like, oh, okay, he just played 70 games.
Right.
He was the best player on a team that had 50, you know, was in the 50
at
win vicinity,
point,
was on a 50 win pace, and he stayed healthy and played well and was a legitimate, I know he didn't make the All-Star team, but played over the, if you named an All-Star team today, I think he would make it. And so if it was based on the full season. And so I think he played really well this year. But the answer is it's always LeBron. LeBron is always under more pressure that because he is judged by such different standards and he's chasing a ghost. And so because of that, the answer will, no matter who you're playing, there is more pressure on LeBron James.
And not to get too much on a tangent.
Yeah.
When they face Denver, more pressure on Jokic.
I disagree. I disagree.
Because if Jokic loses, it is a huge disappointment and failure.
Okay.
If LeBron's, they're expected to lose, the Lakers.
Well, so, you know, we can maybe have that argument another day. Yeah, I just think that in basically every scenario he's in, he's under the most pressure, but certainly tonight. Because even though they're not the underdog or they're not the favorite, people think they're
the public thinks they're
the favorite.
I think so. I think Zion thinks they're the favorite. I'd like to see Zion come out and shoot the ball 22 times. Head to Sacramento. Both Warriors and Kings have the same overall record. Split the season series, but Warriors are hot and the Kings have lost 5-7. Last elimination game for Steph in Sacramento. Well, he scored 50 points. Here he is on the similarities between last year and tonight.
Everybody talks about my numbers, but it was everybody was, you know, engaged and locked in, playing physical, playing with desperation. And we're going to have that same type of mentality tomorrow. So it's kind of ironic, just everything that was built up to that Game 7. This is technically a Game 7 type environment in the same building, so we got to do it again.
No, he said tomorrow. The game is not tomorrow. He said that yesterday. Just want to make sure he knows when the game is.
Yeah.
Brew, are the Warriors on upset alert?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to win, but they could lose. These are really two evenly matched teams. This year they were 2-2 against each other. We know about last year's seven-game series. So it's going to be a good battle. Look, Sacramento, I think a big problem for them is the injuries. Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter. If those two were healthy, you know, they might be the favorites. But with those two out, I think Golden State, we know they've been in these moments, that's to say the least. So I think the Warriors win, but sure, they got to take this seriously because it's one and done.
And the last three games between these teams were one-point affairs. Yeah. The Warriors won by one, and then the Kings won back-to-back games by one. That series, like you guys just mentioned last year, the key game of the series, Harrison Barnes had a shot, if you remember, to go up 3-1. Yep. He missed it, and then it ends up being a Game 7, and it takes the greatest playoff game, arguably, of Steph's life in order for them to end up. Now, they did win by 20, but it was close until Steph really lit fire at the end. I think Sacramento wins.
Wow.
I think Sacramento wins. I think that there is a lot of respect right now. Vegas oddsmakers, understandably, to the history of the Warriors. But I was really bothered, if that's the right word, probably not, by how the Warriors finished the last week of the year when they could have avoided this situation. They are a smart team with smart players. They can project confidence, but they know what we know that we were discussing all year, mostly about the Lakers. The difference between being in the 9-10 part of the bracket and the 7-8 part of the bracket, and what that affords to you as far as margin of error and ability to actually go on a postseason run. We have never seen a team come out of the 9-10 to go on a real run in the postseason. We've only seen one team ever, in the West at least, come out of the 9-10 to even make the postseason. That was the Grizzlies when they beat the Warriors a few years
Small
ago.
Small sample size.
No, of course. Fair. Right, but I think that streak continues, by the way, and so I don't think the Warriors win tonight.
You don't believe in Steph, Brew? Because to me, both of these games just go back to Pelicans-Lakers. It's the difference between you've got stars and the Lakers have a superstar, and the Kings have stars and the Warriors have a superstar, and when it's superstar time, the superstars show up and drop 50 and send you home.
I believe in Steph, obviously, but even you talk about the way they ended the week when they lost that game that was critical.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen in a one game in the NBA. Yeah. I don't care who your superstar is. That's why they play seven game series, so that they generally get the best team.
If you treat this like a game seven, you think Steph is
I think when you're a shooter, even the best we've ever seen.
Wow. Right.
You can be off.
You can't. That's how Steph
can go. And their team, with Clay and the rest of them, they can be off.
I'm not taking a shot at Steph, but I mean, Steph had a bad game in the biggest game of his life.
Yeah.
Which is a thing you don't typically see from an apex top 10 all-time guy in a huge spot.
But when that guy is a shooter.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Because he can't just put his head down and be like, you know what, I'm just going to. And I think there is also, I think De'Aaron Fox, I know I'm the only person outside of Sacramento that remembers the broken finger. But I think Fox feels like they let one go. And I know Sabonis remembers getting his chest stomped on.
Probably.
And so in Sabonis.
That would be interesting to see
how he responds. Because Fox lit up the Warriors all year, 32-5-5. Sabonis averaged a triple-double against them. And there's real bad blood there.
Yeah.
And so I think it's – I like the Kings.
You obviously
got me. Honestly, sometimes I have to really work for a take and try to find my corner because you guys have such good cogent analysis. Yeah. And sometimes Steph Curry just drops right here. Take Steph, Wild. So I'm like, will do.
Well, see you tomorrow. This is an easy W for Wild tomorrow. Okay. Right. Wow. You guys are like, wow, you know what, Wild? We should have – probably the generational top 10 player of all time.
See him
probably should
playing.
Have believed in him. Sorry about that. Looking ahead, if the Warriors lose, which we don't expect them, I don't expect them to, season's over. Here's a look at the numbers of a trio that has a bunch of championships and has defined a generation, 720 games, 719, well, also 72% winning percentage, six most wins by a trio all time, almost 14,000 minutes on the court. So, Nick, what's on the line for the Warriors Big Three, if it goes south?
If they lose tonight, I think it's their last game together. I'm gonna read you something, then I'll tell you who said it. Plan 1 or 1A, get out of the tax.
Yep.
I'm not talking about just get beneath the second apron. Get out of the tax.
Entirely he wants out?
Entirely. That quote is from Joe Lacob a couple months ago, and in his defense, there's a real reason for it. They
were the most expensive team ever this
year.
Right,
but there's also – so this year they paid $177 million in luxury tax. And nobody watching cares or should care about luxury tax. But you should care if, in order to avoid it, a team's not going to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
What he, in his quote, he talks about the real penalties, not being able to – once you're in the tax that many years in a row, what it restricts you from being able to do roster building-wise. So if they want to get out of the tax – they can't bring back Klay Thompson unless he takes the Russell Westbrook Clippers deal. You know, if they can get beneath the apron and bring him back. But if they want to get out of the tax, they need him to basically be playing on close to the minimum, which I don't see as being realistic. So because of that, I think tonight is the last night of what, and I want your take on this, Brew, is the fourth best dynasty ever. I give you my list right there. Russell, Celtics, Jordan's Bulls, Kareem and Magic's Lakers, Steph, Clay, and Draymond's Warriors, and Shaq and Kobe's Lakers. But what's so unique about it is this. The last game of Russell's Celtics was a finals victory, and then he retired. The last game of Jordan's Bulls was a finals victory, and then he retired. The last game of Kareem and Magic's Lakers was a finals loss going for a three-peat, and then Kareem retired. The last game of Shaq and Kobe's Lakers was a finals loss, and then Shaq got traded. This would be really like out with a whimper. You know what I mean? For the last time they play together to be in a game that won't even show up on Basketball Reference in the future because the play-in doesn't count.
Right. You can't
play-in
disappeared.
I mean, it's like, what was the last game Steph and Clay played together? Nobody knows. There's no archive. And so I think it's the end of it tonight. I think it's the end of it.
It's a good list. It's hard to disagree with that list. I'm not so sure now.
Wow.
If they lose, look, Chris Paul, unless he comes back at the minimum, essentially, but his contract's not guaranteed. That's $30 million. Klay, it's going to depend on who else is looking at Klay because he's certainly going to take a big pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
And does he want to stay with the Warriors at a lot less money? Is somebody else that's in contention? I don't see him just going somewhere just to make money. All right, now if it's a team in contention, Orlando's building, so maybe something
Orlando's
like that might.
Orlando's better than the Warriors.
I wouldn't go. No, I don't think so. I don't think they're better than the Warriors. And here's what. Remember, in the East, you're playing a much easier schedule than in the West. These Warriors, and I keep saying it. Nobody keeps believing me. Fifth best record in the league since the All-Star break. I think they're looking at it like, okay, we've got –
No, what? He's saying he believes you. That's why he's picking
them. Oh, you
tonight.
Do believe.
No,
I know, but are you picking them tonight?
Yes.
He said that.
I picked them. I just said, they're on upset alert, but I'm picking them.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's going to be a tough game. I wouldn't be shocked
if they
lose.
Them. I'm sorry.
But I'm saying if they lose, I think they might look at – they got to chop. I would shop Andrew Wiggins. Now, I don't know if you're going to be at the training. He's got, what, 3 years left, I think, at about 30 a million a year, close to that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you could trade, but I would shop him. I think they're saying, look, Steph is at a top level. Mm-hmm. Draymond's still playing well. Klay came around and is playing well. If we can get him at the right price. And then the young guy, like, for all we've mocked the trying to grow these, the old guys and the young guys, their young guys are Kuminga's better, finally come around.
And they're two Podzimski, draft picks this year.
Trace Jackson, Davis. Yeah. Like, the young guys are playing well. They need to go out, like I've been saying for probably 2 years, get some size. It don't have to be great size.
Well, they don't have money for any of this.
But it doesn't have to be great size.
I know.
It wasn't great size when they had their dynasty. It was Andrew Bogut and Festus Ezeli. Yep. Get some size, though, and I think they might say, we can still make the run, but you're right. I know financially that's going to be a big issue.
Dusty, where do we got Zach Edey going? He moved himself into the lottery?
I think, maybe.
Ooh, okay.
It depends on which mock draft. Huh?
Brew's official ballot has a few surprises next on FS1, the Fox Sports channel, SiriusXM.
Do the Warriors have a first this year?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to a very electric show. Brew has officially cast his official ballot and is ready to share them with all of us. Will Joker take home his third MVP? Can SGA finish top three? And will Luka's late season surge help his case? Here with all the answers. And his official ballot is Chris Broussard.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Let's get it started. You want MVP?
Yes, please.
All right, at number five, Giannis. Now, I know there's some talk now that Giannis might not be in the top five.
Yeah.
They want Jalen Brunson. And Jalen's been fantastic. I would understand that. But Giannis's numbers are outrageous this year. And, you know, he's played well. The team's been disappointing. Dame hasn't been what they expected. But Giannis has still been fantastic. So I got him number five. At number four, Jason Tatum. I mean, look, what was it, 64 wins? I mean, historic point differential, 11 points a game. They were winning by. They won the conference by 14 games. And he may be the only all-NBA player from the Celtics. I had Jalen Brown on my third team,
but I don't know
that he's going to make it.
It's going to be close.
So, how are you going to win 64 games, have one guy on all-NBA, and he's not a top five MVP candidate, and he's playing well. I think people focusing on the lack of clutchness and all that, but he's had a great season. Number three, the first three, any of them, if they won it, I would be like,
makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, it makes sense. SGA, the youngest team ever to be a number one seed. He's averaging 30 points, 6 dimes, 5 rebounds. He's my vote for clutch player of the year. Hmm. So I had SGA number one, The next guy who I do think is going to win it, I had second clutch player of the year. That's Nikola Jokic. I think Jokic will be the MVP, but he's obviously not mine. He's had a terrific season. And one of the reasons that I took into consideration when I made my vote, Jokic, you know, everybody talks about the seeding, and they're the second seed. Jokic had his two MVPs, neither of them came with 50 wins. Mm-hmm. And one was during the shortened season because of the pandemic. But still, he won as a sixth seed with 48 wins. All right, so you don't hold that against everybody if you're starting to give it out to six seeds. So I got Luka Doncic as the MVP, the fifth seed. They got their 50 wins. That at one point was a magic number. And his numbers are just outlandish. 34 points a game, number one in the league. 9.8, essentially 10 assists a game, number two in the league. That's only happened five to other times. And the guys that have done it, Oscar Robertson, Bob Cousy, James Harden, and now Luka. Oscar did it twice. And Tiny Archibald, of course. And then he gives you 9 rebounds a game. And here, this was a deciding factor for me. Luka has done all this and gotten the Mavs in a great position through a lot of controversy this year. All right, and I'm not talking about Kyrie Irving, who they worked together swimmingly. But his second best player misses what played 58 games. So misses 24 games. That's Kyrie. That's a lot to deal with. They make huge changes in the midseason, bring in Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, and that's a big deal. And then here's this: a lot of injuries for them. Only one of Luka's starters, all right, of the other four starters, only one of them played 65 or more games. That was what the NBA said you have to do to be on teams. And that was Derrick Jones Jr. All right, a lot of upheaval. As far as SGA, all five of their starters in OKC, including him, played at least 71 games. So the chemistry is there. The continuity is there. Jokic, three of his other four starters played at least 73 games. So Luka was doing all this through a lot of upheaval and changes. Okay. And the other guys had a lot more consistency in their teams.
So listen, I think that's a great ballot. I think that SGA should be a unanimous third. And that I know OKC fans will be upset with me. By that, what I mean is I don't think he had a better year than Luka or Jokic. But I also don't think you can possibly put him lower than third.
He'll get some number one votes.
Absolutely. I think he might finish ahead of Luka.
He might, yeah.
My only qualm, I would have had Brunson on there in place of Tatum, but I also would have Tatum on first team All NBA because I think they're a little different. Like, your top five MVP doesn't have to be your first team All NBA. I just want to kind of buttress your case for Luka. I don't think the team record is enough of a discrepancy between Denver and Dallas to be disqualifying when you consider the fact that even if it's not demonstrably, I do think Jokic has a better supporting cast than Luka.
Sure.
And I also think that we can't bang on Luka about, no defense, and then he's playing 40, you know, it's 37 minutes a game. The team's defense turned around. Oddly, the metrics like his defense.
Right. Similar to Jokic.
Right, our eye tests don't. And the point you made is a good one. When I was just getting filleted by Serbian Twitter accounts saying, I don't want a six seed to win the MVP. Preston says it can't happen except Russ did it, but other than that, it happened once. And then Jokic won it.
Yep.
That door is now wide open.
Yep.
Two of the last seven MVPs have been from a six seed. So don't tell me a five seed is ineligible in Luka's case, because that precedent.
When you win 50 games as well.
Exactly. And lastly, and Wilds, before we move on, you tell me if this is fair or not. Ties go to the guy who hasn't won one.
Oh, see, that's not bad.
They have historically.
Historically, it's just
how many could LeBron and Jordan have?
Right, or even guys in the 70s, Kareem could have won 10 in a row, or 8 of 10, and so it's just historically that's been the case. And so, for all those reasons, I agree with
good
you.
Argument.
Up next, defensive player of the year. Really a three-man race here. Here's the numbers on field goal percentage allowed as the primary defender. Rudy's at 1. Wemby's at 2 and AD is at 3. So, Brew, who gets your vote?
Again, he may not win it. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes, but I got Wemby winning it.
Wow.
I got Wemby at number 1, Gobert number 2. This would be his fourth. I think Gobert probably wins it. And AD number 3. And look, to me, when I look at the numbers and obviously watching the games, the only reason not to pick Wemby is the team was bad.
Well, that seems like a decent reason.
He's a rookie. It's an individual award. And I'm going to show you some numbers that are going to blow your top off.
Okay.
Right, I'm serious. All right, let's start. Well, we all know he led the league in blocks with 3.6 a game. But here's the impact. I wish we could make it even bigger. All right, look at the impact. All right, when he is on the court, he has a 6.1 point impact on their defense. They go from being one of the worst defenses in the league to being nearly a top 5 defense. 6 point difference. Look at Gobert. Zero. He doesn't even have a 1 point difference. I've told y'all. Now, Gobert's the anchor. I'm going to be fair to him. But Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, these guys are some defenders. They got a good defensive approach and team. And AD doesn't even make a half a point difference compared to Wemby.
Huh? Why is he even playing? Why is he even
playing?
I'm not saying they're not good defenders. I'm just saying this is a metric that tells you. And here's something else. Block shots.
Oh, can I stay on here before we go to block shots?
All right, go ahead.
Doesn't this seem like an indictment on the Spurs front office?
They are bad. That
they decided to basically go with Wemby, and I don't even know who Wemby's.
Can I tell you what I think? I think it's an indictment on how much we should care about that stat.
Okay.
Not because of Wemby. If anyone that's watched the Lakers this year and are like, oh, yeah, their defense maintains whether AD's out there or not, I think is insane.
Jackson Hayes can play, though.
He's
bouncy.
But go ahead. You wanted to do blocks.
Well, I got some more stuff.
Yeah.
Wemby had a 10-block game. First one in 3 years. He had 8 7-block games. That's more than the other top five shot blockers in the league combined. All right, Anthony Davis, Chet Holmgren, Brook Lopez, Walker Kessler. They didn't combine to block as many shots 7 times as he did. All right, also, I gave you that graphic. Stocks.
Yeah, we know. Steals and blocks.
He led the league in steals and blocks.
Hubs and Souls, we have less than a minute.
All right, I can't hear a thing up here.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
But hold on. The most steals and blocks this century.
Okay.
Or second most.
I just want to say two things.
Since Ben Wallace.
One is, listen, I'm glad you said Ben Wallace, because the only people with 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards are Dikembe Mutombo and Ben Wallace. I don't think Rudy Gobert should join that group. So he's out to me. Wemby is going to win at least 5 of these things.
Okay, so he's out.
So, you know what? When Wemby was a part of 19 wins this year. The Spurs won 27% of their games with him and 28% of their games without him.
Oh, wow.
So, you know what?
It's about defense.
You know who shouldn't go his whole career without a Defensive Player of the Year award? Anthony Davis.
And LeBron.
Well, that's true, too. But he got robbed by Marc Gasol thanks to a flawed voting system.
Anthony, okay.
I also wanted to give you credit.
Gobert is probably going to win it.
Can we show the graphic, Hubs, if we can?
Oh, wow. Fine.
Before the year, we all guessed how Wemby was going to do this season. And I think Wilds came the closest to nailing it. He did. Wilds gets it. Wilds nailed the blocks exactly.
I was closer on points and rebounds.
Yeah, but we're going to get to Wilds. I just brought up Shaq's numbers. Shaq's numbers. You know what, Wilds? You get it. So I say that.
All right, I'll give you
now
one later.
Now I feel like Wemby and Brewer.
Okay.
Coming up next. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my goodness. What, did he say something crazy on the podcast? Or are we talking football?
Well, he just walked in real cool.
Oh,
that's what he did. Real cool.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of cool,
sorry.
Let's talk about the Jets. Jets started their voluntary offseason workout with Rodgers in attendance. Also, some fashion news. The Jets debuted some new uniforms.
Oh, that'll fix it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What is new?
I think it's a shinier helmet.
I don't know, but really? The owner loves it.
A few years ago, they had new uniforms.
The owner loves endorsing Trump and rolling out new jerseys.
I click on all these like new uniform videos, and they never do it for me. Last year they won 7 games. This year Vegas has their win total at 9.5. Do you expect the Jets to underperform or overperform?
I bet I can convince you under is the right answer.
Oh, go ahead. Good luck.
Full list of AFC teams with a higher win total than the Jets. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincy. Full list. They have the same projected win total
as your beloved
Houston Texans. As your beloved Green Bay Packers. They have a higher win total than the Rams. They have a 2-game higher win total than your extra beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. So with those being the level set, do you think they're going to over or underperform?
I'm in! Okay. I'm in!
It's such a bad call. How can you be in?
I'm looking at the paper.
Okay.
I'm looking at the paper, and saying what's not to like.
Well, I can sell you several things.
Really? Because they added Tyron Smith, future Hall of Fame offensive tackle. They added Mike Williams, dynamic receiver when healthy.
Yeah, once a
month. All right, Hassan Reddick to a defense that already was third in the league, total defense.
Hassan Reddick, yep.
What is that, points or yards?
Yards, total defense. They yards. But hold on, you're going to give up a lot of points when you got the worst quarterback play in the league. Uh-huh. They and I know, Nick, you're not a fan of Robert Saleh, who I happened to see in the airport on the way to Kansas City this past weekend. Okay. We didn't talk, but I just saw him from afar.
All right.
But 7-10 the last 2 years, again, with the worst quarterback play in the league, arguably. I don't know if Aaron's going to be closer to MVP, Aaron, or what we saw the last year in Green Bay. Probably what we saw last year in Green Bay, but better. I expect them to be, like, good, not vintage Rodgers, but good. And in a division, Nick, we got to admit, the division, come on. What's Buffalo doing? The Miami, and obviously the Patriots.
We'll win.
I mean, I just think if they're – and I hate to even throw it in there. If they're healthy, you know, that's a caveat. Yeah, they're going to be pretty good. Playoff team.
No, you know what my take is. Everybody knows it. Aaron Rodgers is not a solid quarterback anymore, and that's why Green Bay moved. That's why Green Bay
– solid?
I don't know. Green Bay moved on. They said it's time to give the keys to the kingdom to Jordan Love, and Jordan Love was excellent, and he hasn't thrown for 300 yards in 23 games.
And let me say one other thing, Brew, because you think – I'll be very quick here, Hubs – that Russell Wilson last year was much better than I think he was.
Right.
So what happened to Russell that 1 year? Oh, Nat Hackett was running his offense. And Nat Hackett's going to be running this offense. So even if you're saying Rodgers is going to be the level he was the last year in Green Bay when they were barely 500 and he had a down, down, down year by his standards, that same level of player going from Matt LaFleur to Nat Hackett is going to be worse. So, like, there is an element of how much does coaching and coordinating matter, plus the injury, plus all the nonsense. So, no, I will bang that under. And I know you don't gamble. But we might find a way to make that a show bet or something, because if you want over 9.5, you can have it.
They could be 9-8.
They beat Buffalo.
Could they be 9-8?
Philadelphia.
9-8, you lose. 9-8, you lose.
We got time.
Mahomes named one of Time's most influential people of the year. In a wide-ranging article, Mahomes talks about the longevity needed to be considered an all-time great, but does know he's off to a pretty good start. Quote, he's now entrenched in the GOAT conversation. Brady won his third Super Bowl MVP when he was 37 years old. We start counting MVPs now, I guess. Montana was 33. Mahomes just 28. I've had at least one of the top three starts to a career, says Mahomes. I'll put it that way. Solid. Your reaction, Nick?
Well, it's unquestioned the best first 7 years of any NFL player ever. And by when I say seven, that includes the year he didn't play at all, because it would just be fair to everybody. And so it's not top three start to a career. It's even better than Brady's start to a career, because they are equal in MVP. I'm sorry, in Super Bowl wins.
But he's the force.
And he's got the MVPs. He also has another appearance. But the other thing that separates him, and we'll see how long he can keep this going, is unlike any of the other all-time greats, never a stumble, never a down year, never a miss the playoffs. For Peyton Manning, playoffs, Aaron Rodgers, first year as a starter, Brady, second year as a starter, all those guys, Montana had it, like, none of it. And so we've never seen him bad. In fact, in his worst year he ever had, he won the Super Bowl anyway and was great the entire postseason. So he's 28. He'll be 28 when next season starts. So I think he's going to have his fourth Super Bowl before he turns 30. Mm. Could he have five before he's 32? If he's 28 now, is that a reasonable, it's not unreasonable?
He's setting a
whole new
standard.
Right.
Put it this way, quick, and I'll be so you can finish. I can't even fathom him going a decade without winning a Super Bowl. And that's not a shot at Brady, but I'm just saying. Can you even fathom that?
And I know some people would have said, well, we couldn't fathom that with Aaron, right? And Aaron went more than that. But the difference
he's already proven.
He's already proven that the moment will never be too big for him. He's proven he can play through injury.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's football, devastating injury can throw things off. And he is miles better than Brady was as a player at this point of his career. And so for all, like, no, I don't think a drought is coming. And no matter what my pal Mike Florio tries to stoke to the media, Andy Reid's not going anywhere anytime soon. And so for all those reasons, like, Patrick is being humble, and I appreciate that. He's had the best start to a career ever. And I think right now in Vegas, if you set the, you know, odds, like, what does he finish his career at Super Bowl-wise, what do they set it at? 5.5? They said at 5.5, I would hammer the over. Yeah. They said it at 6.5. It's a hard bet. But it's not
that. You're going to run into some bad luck, though. You know, you're going to get the
But I feel like
6 is a really good number. Like, he'll win 6 Super Bowls. That's a good number.
But go ahead.
When Josh Allen talks about the Super Bowl, we're like, pump the brakes. Mm-hmm. Even when Joe Burrow starts flirting with the Super Bowl, we say, pump the brakes. And Mahomes is always very careful to keep the moment right in front of him. But he was talking about how his wife sent him home at 4:30 a.m. because they had to go to Disneyland the next day. And then there was this, my favorite sentence.
Oh, yes.
Article.
Oh, I saw this too.
Next year's Super Bowl, Mahomes points out, is in New Orleans. Quote, so it'd be Disney World if we go again. So he's already planning. Like, it's a short flight to Disney World once we win again. Also on Fox. Hey.
But we'll also be because time. That's because he's been, if the Super Bowl's West Coast, you go to Disneyland.
Yep.
If the Super Bowl's East Coast, you go to Disney World. And I don't think people should look at it, Wilds, as 6.5. They should look at it as 3.5. Like, will Patrick Mahomes get to 7 Super Bowls? It's will he get 4 more?
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Will Patrick Mahomes, who's 28 years old and has been in the final 4 every year of his career and been in the final 2.
The Kelce factor, I got to see him without Kelce. We've never seen it. And Kelce does seem locked in, don't get me wrong. But I got to see him without
right,
Kelce.
Right, but the other question is, can't, like, how good is this defense going to continue to be?
True.
Right.
And could he get either a Peyton Manning's last Super Bowl or Tom Brady's first Super Bowl one
that,
day.
That was this, you know, Super Bowl.
Except he was amazing the whole playoff.
He played well, but the defense, that
no,
was...
but I'm saying where he's not playing well and they win despite it.
Live from New York, it's the show that features one official NBA voter and Defensive Player of the Year voter. It's Chris Broussard. It's the second hour of First Things First. It's just the truth. It helps gas Broussard up a little bit. It doesn't hurt your feelings at all. It shouldn't. Today, is there any chance this could be Steph's last game with the Warriors or maybe Klay Thompson's last game we discuss? Meanwhile, Lake Show. By Vegas standards, underdogs in New Orleans, can the Pelicans, I guess, get the win? I was going to say pull off the upset, but that doesn't make any sense. Nevertheless, it's Tuesday, April 16th.
Why some people write those.
And it's time for the warmest segment in all sports. I tried to freestyle that one. Now I'm back to the warmth security of the prompter. King of the Hill playoff edition. Like always, this ranking is a rich tapestry of historical greatness, recent performance, and the ever-important eye test.
Yes.
It's named after LeBron James. And it's called King of the Hill, playoff edition.
Wonderful introduction, Kevin
Look at,
Wilds.
And we doubled up on the butterflies.
Oh, because it's the playoffs. And the most important word you said
it
there, or two words, pardon me, is rich tapestry.
Yeah, bro.
Through. So I
Which
want,
means
I want the audience
can't
to,
push back.
I know.
What's tapestry? The criteria?
Well, I'm trying to explain. So
Whatever.
It has, you know, a couple shakes of how you're playing right now, mm-hmm. a little bit of how you've done over the course of the season.
I just explained all this.
And, well, I'm going to add one important thing for Brew. And a massive dose of what your playoff resume is, for good or for bad. That is
career.
Why it is it is the playoff edition.
I'm glad you said that.
So it is very different than the regular season.
There's
and it's only,
intro.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. We got to go.
People that are in the playoffs. Bottom row.
He didn't
Donovan
like your
Mitchell,
intro, wow.
Draymond really? Green is a great example of what's different
Perfect.
From the playoff hill and the regular season hill. He never sniffed the regular season hill,
mm-hmm.
but now it's playoff time. We know what type of playoff performer he is. Zion Paolo, we have not seen, you know, on this stage in a
love.
Significant way, but given how they've played this year, they make it. Maxey played well in the postseason last year. And then Halliburton, DeMar DeRozan, it's kind of a scattered playoff history, but a lot of that was just because he kept running into LeBron James.
Right.
So, row 6, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, Devin Booker, Kyrie, who both have had spectacular postseason moments or runs. Never been for Booker, never had a great finals run, but has had a great run to the finals. Kyrie, it's been a while, but we have seen him have a monster postseason, monster finals performance. Mm-hmm. Dame, it's been a while as well, but we've seen him have monster postseason performances. And De'Aaron Fox was quite good last year till the broken finger. All right, fifth row. Again, this is where the playoff part comes in. My fake NBA MVP ballot, I had Jalen Brunson on it. No. And Jalen Brunson, by the way, has been excellent in the playoffs in his career. But he's not one of the 10 guys in the league I trust the most come the postseason, so that's where he is right now. Same with SGA. SGA is going to get first place MVP votes. But the only times we've ever seen him in the postseason was when he was a young pup on Chris Paul's Oklahoma City team or when he was with the Clippers. So because of that, he's where he is. Tatum also has had some high playoff highs. Also, Wiles, what did he have?
Well, he had 100 turnovers.
100 turnovers, and he literally went to the finals. Jamal Murray benefits massively from it being a playoff edition of the Hill. Jamal Murray over the last few years, when he's been healthy, has been a consistent, dominant playoff performer, including before Nikola Jokic was considered an MVP-level player, Jamal Murray was dropping 50 in playoff games. Now, those were playoff games where the other team employs Rudy Gobert, so we know usually somebody finds a way to average 50 against that drop defense, but still. Now to the top 10, Legends Row. Steph, KD, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, not quite a legend, but trying to build it. These are guys that if you are rooting for the other team and they come up against you in the playoffs and they're healthy, they can ruin your whole summer.
Yes.
We have seen Steph do it a couple years ago. We saw Kevin Durant do it a couple years before that. Kawhi Leonard did it a couple years before that, and Anthony Davis did it sandwiched right in between alongside LeBron James. Now, Brew, this row is the toughest because this row is injuries and questions and very different playoff resumes. Giannis scored 50 to win a championship. Giannis had one of the best playoff runs in recent memory. Giannis also is hurt right now. Joel Embiid, based on the regular season version, King of the Hill, has kind of been the king of the last 2 years when he's been playing. In the playoffs, we're yet to see him have that great playoff moment. It's the opposite of Jimmy Butler, who in the regular season doesn't really seemingly care to show up that much. Come the playoffs, he has been as dominant as any perimeter player in the league over the last 5 years in the playoffs, aside from Steph and LeBron James. Maybe, honestly, more Steph missed the playoffs than Steph won a title. He's right on par with those guys. Now, top rows. Luka and LeBron. Luka is self-evident, second most playoff points per game in NBA history, only to Jordan. And he actually could, in this postseason, overtake Jordan for that first all-time, a list Jordan's been at the top of for my entire life, seemingly. And then there's LeBron, which I understand there's going to be some potential pushback or skepticism on that. But LeBron James, when healthy, which he is right now, has shown year in and year out that he is as able to control the game in the postseason, unlike really anyone in the league. And while I might disagree with Brew a bit on how much he does or doesn't control winning right now compared to other players in the league, it is not comparable to how he was as a younger player. But come the playoffs, he gets back in that mode. And we've seen him healthy once in the postseason as a Laker, and they did end up winning the championship. Then, of course, atop the playoff version of King of the Hill is Nikola Jokic. He is the reigning NBA champion, the reigning finals MVP, and had a marvelous postseason run last year where LeBron did give him his best shot and won zero games out of it. So that, Brew, is the first edition of 2024 playoff King of the Hill.
Oh, that was great. Did he get the rich tapestry there?
Yeah, it did. And I'm glad you explained it. Wilds didn't explain it that way.
Thank you, bro.
I'm glad you
appreciate you having my back.
Sorry about that, Wilds. But the key, though, when you said what you've done in your playoff career, that's the kicker and why I have an issue. I'm switching. Well, I'm moving Jamal Murray up to where Joel Embiid is.
Wow.
And moving Embiid down a level and
the top six guy.
He is the very definition of a playoff player. I mean, let's look at this graphic. This is his career versus Embiid. And I think if we can make it a little bigger. But look at Embiid in the regular season, 28 points a game for his career, Playoffs, he drops basically 4 points to 24. Look at the field goals, though. Down to 46%, not good for a big, and 28% from three. Murray goes the opposite way. From 17 points to 25, field goal percentage up, three-point percentage up. But that's not even – remember last year, Embiid, who I voted for MVP and deservedly he won it, but he averaged 33 points a game last year. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs, 24. He's always hurt. That's the problem. And he might be hurt now. Who knows? Whereas Murray went the opposite. Joel went down 10 points, yeah, essentially. Murray went up 5 points.
Yep.
And against the Lakers, Nick, he was – I mean, Jokic did average a triple-double with 14
points. But he was 32 and 12
rebounds. Yes. Jamal Murray, and you hit it. It's not – it wasn't just last year. His career – he shows up. It was in the bubble,
yep,
when he had the 250-point games against Utah, him and Donovan Mitchell,
yep,
going at it. He had a 42-point game that series. He's one of those guys that turns it up when the lights are the brightest and the stakes are the highest. And so I got to put him up there.
So that, and I will add another point to it. I don't think, personally, that Jokic drastically improved as a player between last year and the year before. I think he improved a little bit, mm-hmm, but the Nuggets were one and done,
yeah,
lost in first round versus winning the title with no one really pushing them. What was the most significant difference? Jamal Murray being out versus Jamal Murray being in. Yep. So that, yeah, Murray was a tough – a few of these are tough ones because it's like I don't want to have SGA. It kind of feels unfair to have SGA that low, but we've never seen him have a great playoff run. I assume he'll have one this year, so that's where we're at. Go ahead.
I'd like to move Maxey up.
Oh.
On potential. And okay. I went like just the micro against the Heat to start.
Yeah.
Like you gotta, before we get into the real playoff, you got to beat the Heat. So I'm going to move Maxey up. Maxey's last three games against the Heat. Pretty solid. 2 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, field goal percentage is at 52%, plus minus 45. Last year it was like, if Embiid's out, it's really Harden's team now. Harden hit the game winner, was really carrying him. Now it's obviously Maxey, even though him and Embiid are playing very well. Now, will this carry over? That is a great picture, Doug. Offensive rating when they're on the court, everything's either 1-2 or 4th with the opponent's field goal percentage, so defense. So I think this is Maxey's kind of superstar turn. When Josh and I were going through it, and you talked about Jamal Murray and Donovan kind of came out in the bubble.
Yep.
We saw Trae Young. I know he's a high draft pick, but like that run when he was in the Garden, these really superstar moments. I feel like with Harden out of the way, this is really Maxey's moment to become, if not a superstar, right below superstar.
Go ahead.
Well, the opportunity's there, for sure. Now, I'm going to ask you, too, is he your most improved player? Because I didn't have him in my top three. I thought he was really good last year. I just thought he got more opportunity this year.
Who did you give it to?
Jalen Williams from OKC.
That makes sense. You know, I was second lead scorer on the team. Probably Jalen Williams.
LeBron just
He's shooting. I mean, I don't know. Man, he's shooting. He's improved a lot. He's always getting better. Here's the thing that I'm most excited about for Maxey. The best position for a guy like Maxey to be in as the second best guy is when the best guy is a big. So it's when Embiid's out last year and Harden's there and Harden's still you don't get the opportunity. Yep. He still averaged 20 a game. Yeah. But the ball's going to be in his hands a ton. Yeah. He did get a couple months where, hey, it's my team. Now, they weren't very good in that span,
mm-hmm,
but he got the reps. That 29-7, I was trying to do the math in my head while you were talking. Fact check me on this, Dust, but I think 29-7 is right at a 64-win pace. So that, you know what I mean? That is what the Celtics ended up being.
Yeah.
And so
it did feel like they were, you know.
What's that?
Playing above their.
Maybe.
Above a pace. It's like it was a marathon and they decided to set the world record in the first 10
miles. They could have kept it up.
Really?
If Embiid had stayed healthy. But
they couldn't have.
He said if Embiid stayed healthy.
But I'm saying that's the point. If you're playing a breakneck.
No, but he's saying
I think they were playing at the level that
he's saying they were good enough. He's saying that he thinks that
Kelly Oubre's really stepped. I mean, he's playing well.
That roster's good. I've been on Kelly Oubre's train.
Okay, well, yeah.
Since the Supreme Sleeve. I've been there.
So, listen, I think that's fair. We just need to see it on a real playoff run. And hopefully we see it starting tomorrow night.
Maxey time.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next,
Warriors. Nick is predicting this might be the end of the Warriors. It's kind of sad, to be honest with you, with the butterflies.
It is sad. It also opens up a couple spots on King of the Hill Playoff Edition.
Ooh.
Steph and Draymond out of there.
Warriors in Sacramento tonight in a literal must win. Season series tied at 2 apiece, but Warriors have been hot down the stretch. Sacramento has struggled. What would a loss tonight mean for Steph?
I'm going to go big picture, if I may, just for a moment, because it would mean kind of one of the saddest is the wrong word, but unceremonious ends of a dynastic run of any of the great dynasties ever. Like, they are one of the five, we can show the list I had earlier, one of the five greatest dynasties in NBA history, to me, without a question. Some people be like, where are Bird Celtics? But they won three, and they never won back-to-back, and the Lakers were a dynasty in the midst of it, yep. So I wouldn't consider them on there. I think these are the only
not
five.
Not better than those.
No, and I think these are the five. Because the LeBron's Heat were not a dynasty, in my opinion. No. And so if they weren't, no, you know, so that's what it is. Russell's Celtics ended with a Game 7 championship win, and he retired. Jordan's Bulls ended with a Game 6 championship win, and he retired. Kareem and Magic's Lakers ended with a loss to the team they had just beaten in the finals the previous year, Detroit, going for a third straight, and Kareem retired. Shaq and Kobe's Lakers won three in a row, had a down year, came back the next year, were in the finals, lost, and Shaq was traded. Mm. That was, what's the word? Not dirty. That was a messy, pardon me, the end of it, but it wasn't with a whimper. They were in the finals. For the Warriors to go championship, to Bron beats him in round two, to out in the play-in to the little brother Kings, it's a brutal end that would be so brutal, Brew. And this is to now answer the direct question. I don't think Klay's back. And if Klay's not back, then Steph has to ask himself the tough questions. We're broken up already. So do I want to stay and be middling?
Yeah.
Or do I want to chase more championships? Not necessarily attach myself somewhere, but a team that has more flexibility and ability and not as much kind of emotional baggage. Mm. So I think that's all on the board.
Well, addressing the first point you said about they would go out with a whimper. Now, Bird's Celtics weren't on there, but we know they didn't go out strong either.
Correct.
Bird was banged up with the back injury and all that stuff. And a mini dynasty, kind of like the Heat, Isaiah Thomas's Pistons. You know, Isaiah got hurt, and they kind of went out, you know, similar to Bird. So this isn't terribly unusual. And, like, however they won it a couple years ago, you know, it was, like, stunning that they were able to win that. Like, I don't think it'll be a shocker if they lose and it's broken up. It's like, I mean, Steph's 36. We forget that. Like, he's 36 years old. And he's playing with so much house money because of the four rings. He's the only small player ever that a dynasty was built around.
Yep.
Isaiah had the mini dynasty, but he's the only one where a full dynasty was built around. So he's playing with so much house money. If they lose, I'm not going to be looking at it like, wow, like it's sad it ended this way because it's just been coming. You've seen it coming the last few years. Now, I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. And I definitely think even if they lose Klay, I think for next year at least, like I think he wants to end his career in Golden State. But I think next year at the very least he would go back and they'll try to get some young shooters maybe. Certainly, I hope a big and try to make a run. You know, Klay would be a big loss, but Klay's not their core anymore. You know, it's sad to say, but after next year, and if he's still playing well and it goes badly, then maybe he'll want to go somewhere else, but I'm not sure.
If they lose tonight and the season is over, we are going to look back at a few moments in this year and say, that's when it was. The same way that we looked at that little argument that Draymond and KD had, it's like, oh, that's when KD decided to leave.
Or and look this at last year and say, oh, that was the moment their title defense ended when Draymond punched a teammate.
So here's the Draymond full screen where it's like, you know what? when he's playing and the big three are together, they're 32-19. When he gets ejected, he's 1-3. And when he doesn't play, and that includes a suspension, but also just regular rest, or when he actually wasn't suspended but was still kind of gearing up, they're below 500, and now they're in a win-or-go-home. And we saw early in the year, we saw Steph on the bench kind of despondent. I forgot which game that was. And then the game that
he cried.
He's weeping, man. It's like, I feel like that happened, but the Draymond stuff was so over the top. I was like, guys, the face of the league, or one of it, is covering his face and weeping into his jersey. It just felt like a moment in time.
So
that
you
time
think he'll won out?
I don't know if he'll won out, but he knew something was happening there.
And that, so let me just add to that quickly. Again, smart money is that Steph Curry obviously is on the Warriors next year. But the reason I wanted to make this point on today's show is it is a non-zero chance that tonight's his last game as a Warrior.
Yeah, you got to.
Even if it's, you only think it's 5%, a 1-20, it's on the board. And if Clay, I don't know the interpersonal dynamic relationships amongst the Warriors, but I would guess that when things are really going awry with Draymond, Steph is not pulling Andrew Wiggins' ear or Jonathan Kuminga, it's Clay.
Right.
It's him and Clay, like, man, talking about it, maybe on Clay's boat. And if Clay is in Orlando and he's like, what? Who am I going to, you know what I mean? Who am I? Because I don't think Draymond's all of a sudden going to chill. Like, when we go through these inevitable things next year, I just think there's a lot of ripple effects depending on how this next few days and maybe few hours for the Warriors go.
They also thought they had that guy in Jordan Poole to replace Clay. Obviously, that wasn't the case. Maybe it's Kuminga.
Maybe.
Different style.
Also, I got the Warriors winning by 20. coming up tomorrow, it's the greatest segment in all of sports, Nick's Tears, not the ranking. You know what? Your haircut looks better currently. That was a little too long.
Okay, that's fine. My wife told me she wants me to shave my head again. I said, the guy is so mad we have to take another set of pictures.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can, but you have to wear a hairpiece. Lakers in New Orleans tonight. It's an early one, 7:30 Lake Show. Now underdogs despite easily beating the Pels this weekend. Brew, who do you have here?
The Lakers.
Okay.
I mean, I'm stunned that they are the underdogs. I'm sorry. Like, I get it that they're playing in New Orleans. New Orleans isn't good in the blender, the Smoothie King Center. All right? They're not. They got the worst record at home of any of the top 8 seeds in either conference. I know the Lakers haven't been great on the road, but you got somebody named LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I'll be shocked if they don't win this game.
So, to be fair, I was going to be shocked last year if they lost to Minnesota, because remember, Minnesota had just had a guy that was dealing with what they were dealing with going into it. And the Lakers, despite that, it goes to overtime, right? And they end up, the Lakers, who was it? McDaniels had broken his hand right before the play-in game. And so Minnesota wasn't, and it still was closer than it should have been. But, yeah, I think LeBron is really locked in right now. And I actually think LeBron's defensive ability is not as deteriorated as other people think. I think his
Zion agrees with
him. But
Zion.
But that's all you can do, like, that against Zion.
I think what has deteriorated the most about LeBron's game is honestly his endurance, and because of that, he picks his spot.
Right.
I think this is a night where he's going to pick spots in a good way. You know what I mean? Where he's going to be locked in because he knows they get then 3 days off to go avenge the Nuggets.
Okay. You sound like you got New Orleans.
Pelicans by 5. Zion has a superstar turn. And Brandon Ingram, I know it's like, oh, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis already gotten his revenge. This is a little Brandon Ingram revenge game.
Wow.
And Jose Alvarado scores 12 points.
That's where it all stems. Pelicans. That's your guy.
Speak is next.